Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Hour number three begins right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You want to get in touch with us? Several ways to do that. You can call or text 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You could tweet us at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny. We try to respond as best we can. There's a lot of different chatter going on around, you know, baseball and even basketball right now because of the coronavirus.
Well,
did you see where CJ McCollum said he's done signing autographs?
Yeah, but even you, for, yeah.
Does that make sense to you? Would you?
I didn't like that part of it.
Why?
Well, because here's my concept. So essentially, CJ McCollum said that, and then I don't know if it was before or after the league sent a league-wide memo mm-hmm. that gave all the players and organizations precautionary measures to take because of the coronavirus. The one thing you don't want to take away is what makes you who you are.
Yeah, but you don't want to get sick either.
So essentially what I would say is when the guys are signing autographs, either they bring their own Sharpie.
Still got to touch the whatever you're signing.
No, because they're saying instead of high fives and handshakes, they're Barry Laminacking. Everybody fist bumps.
Fist bumps. And, but you still have to touch the basketball or the hat or the card that they had in their nasty-ass house when they had the coronavirus all over.
You just tell the fans, hey, just hold it, Nuh-uh. And I'll sign it.
I mean,
I just hate taking away that element of that fan interaction.
It's temporary, though. I mean, so what CJ McCollum said was, the coronavirus has officially hit Oregon, more specifically Lake Oswego.
Lake Oswego, thank you.
Lake Oswego,
you.
There you go.
I used to live there.
Make sure y'all are washing y'all's hands with soap for 20 or more seconds and covering your mouths when you cough. I'm officially taking a break from signing autographs till further notice. Sincerely, CJ. I mean, y'all know me.
You're a germaphobe.
I'm more than okay with that.
I'm not. Nick?
I'm okay with it. I think it's a pretty good precaution. I do think, though, if he is just trying to get away from autographs, really good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic really cover. Idea. Like, yeah. If he was just trying to get, if he really doesn't care, and it's just because he's just tired of giving autographs.
Smart.
Genius cover.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming from. If you just, here's the thing. When the coronavirus is gone or they've found the solution to putting an end to it, you have already created the buffer to where you don't have to go back to signing autographs.
Yeah.
I've been through too many situations like this working for people that said, you know, hey, there might be a labor strike, so we're not going to do a Christmas party this year. And then when the labor strike was solved, we never had a Christmas party ever again. And you're like, really? But we're doing okay on the labor front. But people look for that out sometimes. I just think because the connection, especially with kids, it's a slippery slope because those are the kids that are going to have the affinity for the product, for the player, and stick with them for their careers and for longer when in the course of dealing with teams. And now all of a sudden they're going to miss out on something that means a whole lot to him. Now, I guess selfies you can still do.
But with the memo, just don't touch me or breathe on me. But with the memo from the NBA talking about, hey, maybe do fist bumps mm-hmm. instead of high fives and so forth, that kind of lends itself to they're concerned. And so it doesn't look so bad that he does it. If the NBA wasn't sending out memos and we weren't talking about having to move the Olympics and all these other things, baseball's looking at what do we do, then it just looks selfish on his part. But, I mean, like you said, if this was just to get out of autographs, perfect timing. But if he's just concerned, because he really started tweeting out a whole bunch of other stuff. Or I say tweeting, it might have been on Instagram. But he started posting a whole bunch of other things about the coronavirus and ways to prevent it and where it was outbreaks in Florida and New York and how they were dealing with it. I think he's probably pretty concerned about it. He might be a germaphobe for all we know.
I mean, it is definitely a big enough of an epidemic for him to raise concern, because I think it's all safe. There's a consensus that it is officially in the United States, and people are walking around with it. So, and that's simply scary.
And he's in the Pacific Northwest. So the first confirmed death in the United States was in Washington State. Mm. And then there's another elderly lady, I think, that's close to dying because of it. So now it becomes a huge reality. It used to be, oh, that's just happening somewhere in another country in which they're having to deal with things. But now, even locally on the news last night, the number one story was how the rodeo is going to deal with it. Because you can't think of a bigger likelihood of it popping up, something like that popping up, than congregations of massive amounts of people. The rodeo for the next, month is going to be nothing but a mass of humanity every single night. And because a lot of it is, as we know, the carnival outside, the bathroom situations, the whole convention hall where they have all the different retail people selling stuff and everything like that.
Center.
It's just germs and germs and germs and germs.
So we shot the Houston Sports Show from the rodeo on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, the worst part about the whole thing is you have to use a porta potty.
Yeah. Well, that was the water situation, too, played into it, didn't it?
No. There's always porta potties at the rodeo. True.
There's just way too many people. You can't conveniently place.
Disgusting.
Yeah, you have to. There has to be porta potty. I mean, that's. I'm not going to lie.
No one washes their hands after they use a porta potty. They're all in there picking up stuff at the, oh, look at this belt buckle, and then you're coming back behind it, I'm touching it, oh, God.
Well, if you're using the porta potty and you're not...
wait a minute, where are you
My bad.
Porta potty.
but you're not using the porta potty hand washing station,
They don't have one, do they?
Oh, they're new now. They're all over now. Yeah. They've been around for at least 3-4 years.
Nick's right.
You don't have to push anything with your hand. Literally, you pump the water with your foot. There's like a pedal on the floor, and then you wash your hands that way.
When I used it, I took the train and got off right there at the NRG Center. There's an entrance if you take the Metro Rail.
Yep.
You walk in like cattle, and then there's a group of porta potties right there where you buy tickets. There's no hand washing. There were two people with hand sanitizer.
Right. Yeah, there are some that just have hand sanitizer, and that's nasty
too. But they were just standing there. No, there was no hand sanitizer in the porta potty. You literally walked out, and there was two people that wouldn't let you pass, but they had hand sanitizer around their neck. You had to go up to them and ask, can I have some of your hand sanitizer? Otherwise, people were just, all right, touch my junk. Time to go.
You know, but the washing stations are supposed to be, they're placed outside they're not inside the porta potty.
Right.
Yeah. And so there are places where they don't have those washing stations, and they'll have hand sanitizer outside, but not to the point where you have to request it. Like you're saying, that's bad.
Yeah.
But it's
sorry for women. Could you imagine having to sit in one of those?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's disgusting.
No, thank you.
Well, and the thing was, and we've talked about this in the past, and Nick knows, I was a huge fan of the cook-off. The cook-off was worse, but it was also better in certain ways. It's worse in terms of the fact that food, especially depending on which tents you're in,
is
basically like help yourself, and people are just, doing whatever with their hands and grabbing, sides and whatever that they need, or, grab me a handful of chips or lettuce or whatever it may be as part of what they're eating. But depending on the tent that you're in, a lot of them bring in their own like mobile home trailer with air conditioned restrooms and sinks and soap, as opposed to just the straight plastic porta potties, which when people are consuming mass amounts of alcohol, because in most tents it's free, and then barbecue and other things, it's a war zone in those porta potties.
Good Lord.
I mean, I was concerned thinking about the virus, but had I gotten wristbands, I probably still would have gone to the cook-off. Mm-hmm. But in terms of what you're talking about, Joel, I don't like the self-serve tents where like you're grabbing the brisket and you're grabbing the mashed potatoes, because then everybody's grabbing those hands and those scoops and stuff like that. I'd rather tell somebody, hey, I want the brisket, I want some corn, I want some mashed potatoes, and that person serves it for me, because it limits the number of hands, being all up. But
yeah, it is. But it's also a catch-22, because you hear the people that and
serving
from
you
year
could
to
be.
Year, they bitch because they want more, more brisket. They want more than what they're giving them. But at the same time, there's also the people that are like they sneeze and they wipe their nose and then they go, oh, there's some cheese. I'm going to grab some of these cubes here and I'm going to grab some
cheese.
Did
y'all see the video of the dude drinking soup out of the soup ladle?
No.
Have you seen this video? This a-hole. There's just some random video. I just saw it again on my time. It's kind of old, but I just saw it again on my time. There's a guy kind of like at I don't know. There's like it's a buffet style. There's just a bunch of different soups, and they all have ladles. And he's just standing there, and he takes the ladle out of the soup, and he just drinks directly from there, dips it back in, takes another sip, puts the ladle back in. I would fight that guy right there. I would pour the soup on him.
Yeah.
I'm like, no one's drinking this. I'm going to pour this on you now.
It's like going to like Sweet Tomato or Super Salad where they have these soup stations and some guys just...
That's why I really don't like going to those places. Because like you said,
I'm with you.
Everybody touches all the stuff and I'm like, oh, I just can't.
I like re-reminded him about it. Like,
no, but I mean, Nora, I can't get her to go to any of these places.
Really?
Oh, no. She's worse than me.
I'm talking about...
Y'all think I'm bad as a germaphobe?
You said you got your germaphobe-ness from her. Yeah.
Yeah. She's... No way.
Oh, God. Taylor loves Sweet Tomato.
I love that spot.
Yeah. It's a good spot.
It's just that everybody's touching the handles and they don't wash their hands.
It's okay under regular circumstances. People can tolerate it. But now because we're talking about something this big of a deal that could be this devastating, now it magnifies it to the point where maybe I bet you their business does go down.
There's been, there's 3,000 deaths already.
Yeah.
That's a pretty serious thing.
Everybody has to be a little extra cautious. Yeah. I mean, it's not you being a germaphobe at this point. It's like more of a safety thing, in my opinion. So
it's a lifesaver in a lot of ways, or at least you're trying to prevent any kind of a major, major illness because of what's going on worldwide.
Did you see the tweet from Concrete Cowboy?
No.
He tagged all three of us on it, and it's Reggie Miller responding to Spike Lee. So you know the beef that goes way back between Reggie Miller and Spike Lee, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Reggie takes the article about Spike Lee saying, I'm done with the Knicks, and he says, ooh, have the mighty fallen. This wouldn't happen at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Maybe finally time to switch your allegiance, Spike.
Well, what's ironic is he said when he got home last night after the game that Reggie Miller hit him up, was one of the guys that hit him up and was like, and Charles Oakley, and like, what the hell's going on?
Are you okay and all
that?
Yeah.
And then he hit up Stephen A. after that. He said he was just going to let it lie. But when he got home and then he's talked to Reggie and he talked to Charles Oakley and he's like, no, man, you can't just leave this alone. That was blatant mistreatment. That's when he picked up the phone and started texting Stephen A.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that Reggie Miller's getting in on it, though. That's pretty funny.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so we're rolling through hour number three of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, you can call that number, text that number, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's more of the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday.
So I'm going at it with Mr. UPS Man on the Twitters because he's like, Barry, bro, chill with the fear. It's not that bad. Then he posted an article that 10,000 people have died from the flu. And I said, so what you're telling me is that the 3,000 people that died from the coronavirus already, they don't matter if one of them of the 3,000 was one of your family members, I think it would matter. And he was like, yeah, they matter, but 10,000 is irrelevant also. Look at who's actually dying. I'm not saying the 10,000. I had the flu. The wife had the flu. I thought the wife was going to die. She had the flu so bad. It was terrible. But we went and got her flu shots. There's no corona shot. There's no coronavirus shot yet. So you have to be careful not to contract it.
Just don't drink the beer.
And then he posts I'll let that one go. And then he posts.
Well, that's what people are doing, which is stupid.
Yeah, but then he posts a meme about, oh, in 2002 it was the West Nile. 2004 it was SARS. Then bird flu, swine flu. Oh, it's an election year thing. Bro, 3,000 deaths is not an election year thing. Those are legitimate lives that have been lost, and it's only going to get worse until something happens.
Yeah,
and if you let it spread, then it's going to get worse. But if you contain it,
stop making it political, because
it's not.
I'm not talking to you. I'm saying out there in general, why this is getting mucked up is because of the fact that people are making it political, because they want to hammer Trump and the Republicans for limiting the CDC and taking away a lot of the people that would normally research this stuff.
That was not his fault.
And do all this other stuff. The fact of the matter is, when you just take all of that, all the politics out of the equation, we have a worldwide epidemic right now that people are trying to get a grasp, a hold, and a solution to. They have not yet been able to do that. Yes, the numbers, depending on which numbers you believe and look at, are similar to people that die from the flu. But there, like you said, there are flu shots and things that try to minimize the flu. You don't have anything right now that can do the very same thing for this virus.
I just don't get the justification of his tweet. I mean, sure, he's right in the fact that there's more deaths because of the flu, but what does that mean? You just avoid the whole
problem?
Flu's
been around a hell of a lot longer, too. What Barry's talking about is what? A small window of time in which all of these deaths have occurred, and they're more and more by the day.
Yeah. I think the time, the window, the fact that it's happening so quickly makes it an epidemic, makes it something that you have to address and address more seriously. I mean, what does the guy want us to do? Not worry about it? Like, I've been thinking about it since it came out. Like, well, what would you want to do? Not worry about it and start touching everything?
Here's the thing. My wife is a nurse, and I know what they're going through at work in preparations for the coronavirus in case someone at their hospital has it. Like, if it wasn't that big of a deal, they wouldn't be doing it.
They did a thing on the news.
They're quarantining people in this city and others because of this.
And even if you're not quarantined, they did a thing on the news. If you go into like a 24-hour clinic, or you do go in to a hospital around here and you say that you think you might have the symptoms, or if they detect that you might have the symptoms, you don't wait in a lobby. You're immediately taken to the back where a mask is put on you as quick as possible. Everybody dealing with you puts on gloves, head-to-toe gear, headgear, everything, because you just can't take any chances.
Yeah, and the people that are saying Trump cut the budget, and that's why that's not true. I looked it up. 2021 is when he proposed a budget cut to the CDC, but the money that was doled out by Congress for the CDC ran out. So they've got to approve another budget, and they haven't yet. Stop trying to blame Trump for coronavirus. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, you don't
ridiculous.
Have to make that. It's easy to not make this political. Yes. What do you want me to do? Not be worried that 3,000 people died, bro? I didn't even see the back and forth that you had with the guy. I don't even know who he is. But, how do you want us to react? Just, like, not shake everybody's hands and not be worried? I don't get it.
Yeah. The good thing is that enough rationally intelligent people are addressing this the right way. Because Taylor came home from school yesterday, and she said, Mommy, Daddy, it's 20 seconds now. And we're like, what are you talking about, 20 seconds? She goes, when you wash your hands or you use anything, you must scrub and wash them for 20 seconds before you rinse them off.
Well, y'all should be doing that anyways.
That's fantastic, because more than anything else, the most susceptible to all of the effects of this are the elderly and the children. And that's why Lisa's so hyperprotective of the baby right now, because her immune system isn't anywhere close. She just got her last round of shots. We can't take any chances.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see, because I remember there was like a bacteria that was growing in hospitals or clinics. And you can ask your wife about this, Barry, because I want to know if this is true. And this bacteria would live in the most sterile environments. And so people were catching this bacteria and getting sick until they figured out a way to contain that. I'd really be earnest. I mean, the thing is, she's probably more in tune with that kind of stuff all the time. That's such an advantage working in a clinic or a hospital. I would want to hear everything she has to say.
Yeah. Well, tell you that if my wife weren't coming home and, you know, talking about her day at work and what she has to do in preparations for this at a major hospital in this city, then I would tell you it's not a big deal. But the fact that there are plans in place to quarantine people, if they suspect somebody has it, they have to trace back every person that they've come in contact with. Like, it's not just there's always those extremes, right, where somebody wants to say that this is going to kill everybody, and then someone wants to say we're overacting, it's not a big deal. It's somewhere in the middle, like we always say, yep. And I'm telling you that hospitals are – this is a concern. They're not freaking out, but they're making preparations for this. So what does it matter if you take precautions to wash your hands and not shake hands and don't get it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even
like,
that big.
What does that matter?
No. I don't get it either. And yeah, I'm not even that big of a –
whatever. Sorry, Nick, but border on whatever yeah. you can do yeah. to stay away from it other than take your chances once you get it.
Nah, dude, I'm
this
with you.
This is why I fist bump anyway, so this ain't nothing new to me. The fact that I don't shake hands, that there's a reason. It's because people are nasty. There's a lot of disease and viruses and everything else that gets passed around from person to person. Flu, cold, whatever you want to – corona, all that stuff. That's why when we're on remotes and stuff and I meet people, it's fist bumps.
I'm not as big as a germaphobe as you, but my ex worked at a clinic too, and she yeah. would come home and everybody's talking about getting sick from the flu. I'm like, you're yep. wearing scrubs.
Yep.
Don't touch me.
Yep. Oh, I dude.
Would, and first, she would get mad, dude.
What's crazy is we don't even get to eat. Like, if my wife stops and gets dinner mm-hmm. on the way home, we don't get to eat until she takes her scrubs off
yeah.
and showers. And then
I'm not giving
dinner.
You a hug.
No, nope.
you put those
but
scrubs
that's not
in the
me. That's
in the hamper.
Because I'd be like, babe, come but on, that's ridiculous. She's like, nope. She has to take her scrubs off and take a shower before she'll sit on the couch, eat dinner,
and
give me a
take
hug.
The scrubs off at work and just change at work.
She wears them to and from. Plus, she rides the metro. It's actually worse. You ride metro, you're getting all
oh,
kinds
God.
Of funk.
Now you're talking about touching the railings Man. And touching anything you touch on the metro.
You need to live in a bubble on the metro.
You think touching escalator handles are bad.
Bro, I had to hold the handrails on the metro going to
the rodeo.
Oh, I was just...
That's why I hate like at airports where you have to take the tram to get the baggage claim or to the right terminal.
Hold the
I'm like,
metal pole.
Where do I put my hands?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to find a seat. I always think a seat is better, but a seat, I mean, doesn't necessarily...
Then you get shorts like James Harden.
Yeah.
Well, that's gross.
Ugh. Jimmy Poopy Pants.
What? Oh, now see?
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got some breaking news from Ken Rosenthal we'll get to as well as we continue to talk some baseball. Somebody's a lot happier with a big contract on the way in Major League Baseball. So we'll get you that. And, of course, we'll always be front and center to take your calls, texts, and tweets. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, text. Also hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's amazing.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. By the way, tomorrow, way back Wednesday, I got it covered.
Okay.
Okay. Small ball, right? Popular right now. Talking about it. Rockets every day. How about title or artist? Anything that encompasses small, too short.
Okay.
Anything small, height wise or otherwise.
Works for me.
I think we should probably be able to come up with enough songs, right?
I'm in.
All right. So we'll try and give that a shot. Ken Rosenthal has a report that we're going to get to in a minute here. But before we get off of the coronavirus and the flu, we had a call that we want to get to. AODO. I don't want to mispronounce that. But what's up? You're on the usual suspects.
Hi, guys. Long time listener. First time caller. And y'all are right. Somewhere in the middle. I was 36 last year, and I got sick. I had the flu. I went to the doctor, took some antibiotics. Next thing I know, like I'm you know, sweating it out, you know, the whole process. I'm starting to get chest pains. And I'm like, you know, it feels like an asthma attack. So I hit up the inhaler. Nothing happens. My girl keeps telling me, go to the doctor, go to, you know, one of these emergency clinics, go get it checked out. I go to the emergency clinic. It's about 12 o'clock, and they do all the tests and everything. By 3 o'clock, like 5 minutes before they transport me, they're like, you're in the middle of a heart attack. Like, we're not sending you home. We're sending you to the hospital. And when I was in the hospital, they straight up told me, it was, you have one infection, you fought it off, you got another infection, and it attacked your heart, and your heart is pretty much fighting for its life. And I didn't know how severe it was until, you know, my girl ordered Pizza Hut, and the guy's like, I'm not going in the room, because apparently I had all those little warning stickers you can think of. No mask, no one under 18, no, you know, everything on the door. And I didn't even find out until I got out of the hospital. And it's true, you know, once you get something, it, you know, it does impact you, and you kind of want to tell everybody, hey, you know, don't take this lightly. Don't take that lightly. And so I see it. It's both sides. Yes, it's a serious issue. People are blowing it up. People have gotten sick from other things. They're saying, hey, it's always been here. But, you know, I'm glad people are starting to wake up and, you know, realize, hey, you know, you could die from anything.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, one thing I just saw when I was looking for it, because people were sending me numbers about the mortality rate of the coronavirus versus the flu. World Health Organization just upped the mortality rate to 3.4%, which that makes it, they're actually saying it's around 14% in the elderly.
It's really, yeah.
And that's way worse than the flu.
Significantly.
That is way worse than the flu. Somebody said that the flu was 0.1% mortality rate. So, though it may not be affecting as many people because as many people don't have it, it's a big deal, especially if its mortality rate is that much larger than what the flu is.
I mean, he's talking about blowing it up, or like people are blowing it up out of proportion. I mean, we've talked about how you can Google anything and find something to serve your argument, and that's the part of the problem with the internet, right? It's saturated with a bunch of information, so it's up to you to kind of filter and get the right information. I don't think that's the case with the coronavirus. It's not like we're getting a bunch of I'd rather blow something like this out of proportion than something else that's not life-threatening. So I'm okay with them.
I've seen
outbreak. It's not like we're having
that's what I was going to go to.
15 different viruses at once. It's
right.
One particular virus that's becoming an epidemic. So I don't mind them blowing it out of proportion.
Border on the safe side. It's the simplest thing you can do.
Yeah.
What's the difference if you spend a little bit more time washing your hands and more frequently?
Yeah.
Or using hand sanitizer, or just being a little bit more, you know.
I mean, that might be a struggle for some people on the fourth floor here, but I mean.
It's a good point.
Hey, Cobos Q, by the way, we're talking about the sanitary stuff at the rodeo. He was like, hey, full disclosure, the Pitmakers Porta Potty had a hand sanitizer station outside each one of them. And we served the food wearing gloves. See?
That's right. That's why.
That's right. Exactly. They ain't nasty like some Cobos of these other.
Cobos Q.
Some of these
no
other
doubt about it. And he had a massive tent full of just a big party.
Oh, I bet,
and great food.
I bet the food was amazing.
Oh, no question. So Ken Rosenthal reporting.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers, who lost catcher Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakas to free agency last offseason, were saving for something bigger. They made that known today. They're close to agreeing on a new 7-year, $200 million contract with Christian Yelich. The former MVP of the National League. He's 28 years old. They're not sure if at this point the deal will cancel out the final 2 years of his current deal and be extended onto it, or will be a completely new deal. The 2 years remaining on his current deal, $12.5 and $14 million over the next 2 years, and then a $15 million club option. The new deal would put him in the range amongst the game's highest payers, with an average annual salary in and around the $30 million to $35 million range when all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. Brewers hanging on to a guy that I thought was going to end up, because of the small market stature and the way the Brewers are very, very tight with their dollars, I thought he would end up being a massive free agent. But instead, they're going to lock him up, and good signing for them, good for them, good for baseball.
Yeah, smart move. I mean, you got one of the best outfielders in baseball. You better pay him like it, or he's going to go get it from somewhere else. Right now, he ranks 22nd. He is not the 22nd best outfielder.
He won the MVP in 18.
You can argue he's somewhere between 1 and 3.
Yeah,
it's Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and Christian Yelich, and you can argue the order.
And then maybe, and instead of Bryce Harper, maybe Cody Bellinger in the mix too, who's been... But when you say you won in the MVP in 18, you were runner-up in 19, and you led the National League with a .329 batting average,
yeah,
you're pretty good.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you can put Mookie Betts in that category, too.
Yeah, true. Another one, too, yeah. And MVP.
In fact, you might. So. I mean, Harper's supposed to be up there. He just...
His money is right.
Yeah.
But his numbers haven't been.
Yeah, statistically, he needs to improve a little bit, but...
So, you know, and again, set, you know, put in the back of your mind, this is all... setting numbers and setting precedent for the fact that between Carlos Correa and George Springer, you got some contracts coming up here. It's going to be real interesting.
Got some decisions to make. And you wonder now, how does this whole scandal affect those guys wanting to be here long term?
Oh, big time. I think I was thinking
do you think
about
it makes
the
them more
day.
Determined to be here or more determined to get away
from it? I think
they
want to get rid of
get
it.
Get away.
I want to get away. They want to wash their hands of it and be able to. We're talking about washing your hands. Wash your hands of it and be able to get a fresh start somewhere where you're not going to have to deal with the heckling every day.
Yeah.
The innuendo of what happened.
But don't you think that follows them no matter where they go? Now, I would love for Jose Altuve to end up a Yankee. Only because I would love to see them all have to eat crow and shut the hell up and forgive him.
See, that's what's going to happen. I feel like that's the reason why it's so tempting to leave this roster, because you spread them out. They go to all these different teams. Every one of those teams are going to justify your position there. Once they've signed or agreed to you having been a team, regardless of who it is, Jose Altuve, George Springer, Mike, all these guys, once they leave this, if and when they ever leave this Astros roster, every one of those teams are going to justify their presence. And it's like they were not even there.
And it's twofold, right? It's one thing if you're just a guy that was on that team, but you're now on another team. If you're a guy on the Astros and you were part of that team and you're still on that team, now people have double ammunition. They're going to keep coming at you.
Exactly.
But you think Marwin Gonzalez and Jake Marisnyk, once they apologized, and both of them, remember now, at the start of spring training, came out and said, "Our bad." I don't think they've been heckled, bothered, or prodded about this one bit since then.
It's not going away. You see what they're being heckled at spring training games. You saw what somebody from the dugout was responding to some fan in the rain. Yeah. And he's like, we'll keep taking your money.
Keep paying to come see us.
Yeah.
Keep paying to come see us.
That's this ain't
not
going
a good
nowhere.
Answer. Well, and the fan was like, you know, are you going to give back the rings or whatever? And somebody in the dugout, I don't know who it was, but he said, keep paying to come see us, and that is not what you should be saying.
No. If anything, one of the most notorious cheaters in the history of the game, Alex Rodriguez, goes on TV and says, I apologized, and then I went about my business, and that's when it started going away. Until the Astros start just not talking after saying, I'm sorry and meaning it, this is not going to go away. And I hate
to
say this.
It took him a minute to shut up. Like, let's be honest. They didn't just apologize and he went away. It took him a minute for him to realize what he needed to do.
Yeah.
Right. And he also still got plunked several times, and people were still, you know, pretty ticked off at him. But that's just one guy. When you're talking about a whole team like this, whether you blame it on the PR department or, you know, you can go to Jim Crane's comments or just the way it's all been handled.
Did you see the Yankees fan that got he was on video at a spring training game, and he had moved to an Astros section to go heckle the Astros and talk mess. And an Astros fan starts recording him, and he's like, what about 2015, bro? What happened in 2015 when they weren't cheating? What about that? What about that? What about last year? What about this? What about that? And they were all booing him and yelling at him. And then the usher comes up, and he's like, aha, see, you guys are about to get. And he goes, sir, I saw you come over here to harass these fans and kick the Yankees fan out.
Wow.
That's outstanding. Like, that's what you get.
Then they took the Astros fan, or the Yankees fan signs away, too.
They should. Do you think anybody, if you're on the road, let's say you go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
You go to an Astros game. You wearing any Astros gear?
I'll tell you what, you take matters into your own hands.
Are you?
I'm not wearing Yankees gear because I could never do that.
I could. I have a Yankees hat. I would rock it. I have a Dodgers hat.
Absolutely can't.
If I like the colors, or, you know, from a fashion perspective, I'd wear it. I have a Dodgers hat. I'll wear it. I'm going to wear it tomorrow just because. Get everybody upset again.
I think because I've had enough experience on the road representing my team, but I think I could wear an Astros hat in New York. Although it would be pretty dicey in terms of.
I don't know if I would.
It might be a fight.
There's like. Maybe,
if I had a bad day, I'd put it on and walk around, because then I got an excuse to start throwing haymakers on somebody.
New York, Boston, Chicago. New York, Boston, Philly, and L.A. I would not wear my Astros gear.
I've told you the story about inside Yankee Stadium. We went to a game for NBA meetings, and I got us tickets, and we were sitting in Yankee Stadium, and it was when the Yankees and the Rays had a huge rivalry. And the Yankees went down, I think Sabathia was pitching, but they went down like 3-0 in the first couple innings. And a Rays fan could not get enough of standing up, taunting. In front of us were two couples that seemingly were on dates. Two dudes, two chicks. And they first started with, between innings, a massive chant of sit down a-hole as loud as they could.
Oh,
and they
yeah?
were pointing at the guy. Well, then there was another rally going on, and the Rays fan stood up. And dude didn't care if he was with his chick or not. He looked at him and he was like, hey, yo, I'm going to tell you something right now. I got an MF and gun in my car. And if you keep this S up, I'm going to get the gun. I'm going to shoot your ass. And then we're going to talk. You want to try me? Keep standing up and acting like a clown. And the guy just standing there looking. I was like, you know what? I think we're pretty much going to another section.
I think we're good here.
I believe this guy. I honestly, with the tone he used and the intensity he presented it with, I'm not going to doubt this guy.
So you are or not wearing your Astros gear after that story?
I'm probably not going to wear any gear.
Like, I'm looking for haymakers.
I might drop the hat, but I ain't wearing any gear.
Yeah.
I don't need – I got a family now. I don't need –
Now
– as Lisa always reminds me, we don't need a family without a dad.
Yeah. And that – you know, I don't travel necessarily to take my weapon because you can't fly with it. You could check it, but – it, you know, if that was at home, it'd be one thing. I'd be like, well, I guess we'll just have a shootout at the car because I too have a gun.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the road like that, and it's a New York guy, and they're weird and crazy, that would be scary. I think I would just.
And it's his buddy on the day. Like, yeah, try him, because if you get through him, you're getting through me.
Yeah, you're like, nah.
Because then it's going to be a unified effort. Yeah,
it's not worth it. Yeah.
I'm good.
That's fine.
All right, well, we got one segment to go on the show. We're going to put a bow on it next. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7, as we always tell you. ESPN 97.5, if you missed any of today's show, click on the Usual Suspects tab at the top of the page. Menu comes down. Get hours 1 and 2 of the show. Catch up on everything you missed. And then while you're there on the front page, you can follow the directions, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss another ESPN 97.5 show. We'll be back with the final segment. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. As we've already set the Wayback Wednesday for tomorrow, but we thank you for your efforts if you did decide again to try. As we'll do things, art title and artist that have to do with small. I don't know if you want to, Nick, if you want to involve small balls, that's up to you.
That's a tough list because I'm working on it right now.
Oh, see.
I've only got 4 songs.
Okay.
I love that people are upset about me saying Bryce Harper was one of the 3 highest paid outfielders and one of the 3 best, potentially.
I mean, up until he took the big money, he was, I mean, between him and Manny Machado, they were talking about the first to $300, $400 million in a massive contract.
And some of the names that people are throwing in that are better than Harper, you guys are really, I want some of your crack because it is good. Your crack is really good. Super
Nick,
good.
Nick, will you isolate that, please?
They list.
Oh, that's the best drop ever, right there. Came out the second time.
They listed Brantley,
Michael Brantley,
as a better outfielder than Bryce Harper.
Oh, stop it!
You should delete your call your wireless provider and have them cancel your account and never text this show again. If you include Michael Brantley as a better outfielder than Bryce Harper.
The only thing that you can give an advantage to Brantley versus Harper is batting average. Other than that, go watch Michael Brantley try to throw a ball to the infield, let alone make a throw to a base. Or, and listen to me carefully here, as cut off a baseball or get to a ball in the gap with athleticism as quick as possible. That's contradictory. He's a hell of a stick for a batting average perspective.
Yeah. And I will admit, I mean, Harper's he's down right now.
Yes.
But when you talk about, you know, capabilities and everything
overall
else,
potential and abilities and skill sets.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be realistic, people. I'm happy as hell Michael Brantley's an Astro. I'm the one, you remember, that started the dialogue even with Blummer way back in the day before it even became a thing, saying dude would fit.
Yep.
And I'm happy he's with the Astros, but please don't compare him to Bryce.
What this is this is somebody going out and strictly basing it off of WAR alone, and that's it. I guarantee you that it was like, oh, well, these guys have a higher WAR than Bryce Harper. Well,
I mean, yeah, just stop it. I mean, the only war you should be worried about is that on the coronavirus. and then we'll all be safe and happy. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. So are we done with all that? By the way, disturbing. The head of the sheriff's deputies in L.A. say up to 8 deputies took photos at Kobe Bryant's helicopter crash site.
Damn. 8?
8.
That's not good.
Now, Vanessa Bryant has already come out and said she wants them to be punished to the fullest extent. Because they're saying there really wasn't a law against a rule against this within the department. But the fact of the matter is, mm-hmm. is that in a situation like that, and she even said, she personally, with all she was going through, she went to the station in dealing with the families and everything else to realize we need to put a stop to this immediately because of the fact that these families are already grieving over so much, and now you're going to force them to deal with the fact that these photos might surface?
Yeah, that's not good.
And oh, by the way, they all said they deleted them.
Need to lose their job.
If they lose their job, do you don't think that they didn't send it or store it on their home computer or send it to their wife to go, well, I lost my job, so I might as well make $40,000?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Did you see this? So Tyson had some audio. He did an interview with Sugar Ray Leonard, and I forget
Which Tyson? Oh, Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson,
on a podcast.
Former heavyweight champion of the undisputed.
And
best punch I ever
the stuff that he says is, it's almost disturbing when you listen to him. Because he talks about not being the same man he was, mm-hmm. and he's crying when he's doing it. And he's, just listen to him describe not being the same person that he used to be.
Okay. And then Alexander and Napoleon, I know the more. I read the more, I studied the more. I know the art of fight. I know the art of war. That's all I ever studied. That's why I'm so feared. That's why they feared me when I was in the ring. Because that's all I was an annihilator. That's all I was born for. And now those days are gone. It's empty. I'm nothing. I'm working on being the art of humbleness. Can you be with me? That's the reason why I'm crying. Because I'm not that person no more. And I miss them. Because sometimes I feel like a bitch. Because I don't want that person to come out, because if he comes out, hell is coming with him. And it's not funny at all. It must sound cool, like I'm a tough guy. It's just that I hate that guy. I'm scared of him.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
The first part of that, you're like, okay, I get it. But then there's about halfway through when you're like, oh, damn. Like, not only do you feel fear for Mike mentally.
Yeah, he's got demons.
For sure. He's battling some demons. And whoever the third person was on this podcast, the reason why he said that's not funny is that dude was laughing at him.
Oh, no.
You're a dumbass. You're going to sit there and laugh at a crazy person? What is wrong with
Mike
you?
Tyson in his face about
crying because he misses the demons inside and he feels like a bitch because if he lets them out, hell is coming with him? And you're going to laugh at that dude? You're an insane person. You're a crazy person. But, man, how sad is that?
That's awful. And here's the thing. I've told you guys on numerous occasions when he does those, and he makes a lot of money off of them doing the autograph signings.
Yeah.
But as part of it, between they have to space out when he does like the meet and greets with the people, when he's doing the signing, and he's got to have weed
to make it through
the full day.
You feel like he's battling depression, and this is obviously just me spitballing here, but you see, I know people with depression. You know people that have anxiety and other issues, and they have some of that in him, like he does. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. You just wonder, man, on a daily basis, if that's how he feels, and first of all, he's brave to come out and do that on a podcast.
Absolutely.
And share that with people. But you just, like, demons
is... He's also brave to laugh at him, the other guy, because he's going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, but the demons is the perfect way to put it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been transparent. I remember when he had that press conference and he was saying that, I've been telling you guys I'm sober and I'm not drinking. I'm lying. I've been smoking a lot of weed. I have been drinking. It's almost like he's crying for help and he wants people to know that, yeah, he is still making mistakes and he kind of wants to become a better person. I think the other thing that I've kind of, this is me speculating, it might seem a little philosophical, but I feel like that's the danger of being in one profession for so long. because you only know one lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's not that it's impossible to get away from that lifestyle. It's just a really tough transition when you move away from it, you know?
It's even more amplified too, Nick, when the you think Customato was his only father figure.
Yep.
He didn't have a family. His his marriages have all ended up in divorce, in disaster, in prison time. And then you're and then you're taking on even more demons. Instead of just taking on people in the ring and actually getting paid a lot of money to be destructive, you're trying to avoid self-destruction.
Yeah.
And all you've got is demons coming at you from every different direction.
And it doesn't help that you compound the issues by trying to mask them with alcohol and drugs instead of facing them.
Right.
Instead of, you know, and I hope he's in some sort of therapy. I hope he's talking to somebody because it sounds like he needs it if he's not doing it already.
He has
to. But to just be masking it with, you know, drinks and drugs and whatever else it is that he does to pretend like he's happy. It's just, it's heartbreaking. I mean, that's the only thing. When I hear that, I don't think, I mean, it's scary to hear him talk like that. But the first thing that I feel sorry for the
guy. No doubt. Absolutely.
It's heartbreaking.
And the media, because I got this from media. Because everybody that did those signing sessions, the really big names, they were made available to the media in a room at a certain point during the day. And when the room opened, there was this cloud. And all the media was like, immediately, like, well, that's not cigarette smoke. Mm-hmm. We know exactly what that is. But again, the first thing they said is, well, we're not going to tell anybody. And because he really is very kind to us when we do talk to him, we feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Because seriously, how hard is it to just sit back, sign autographs, and take pictures with folks and get a lot of money unless you have a lot of that going on mentally and in your head? And that's tough.
Man. And, you know, and you feel like a guy like that in that profession with the... He's Iron Mike. He probably feels like he has to be a tough guy, and he can't.
That's the only thing he ever knew.
Yeah,
like,
he can't. And so, I mean, when you hear him on a podcast like that, and he's crying, and he's showing that vulnerability, that has to be really difficult for him to do that.
From the age of what, like 17, 18, 19, he's beating up grown ass men. Yeah. And I know you're considered an adult at that age, but let's be honest, he was a kid, so he was just trained from a very young age to just beat up and be aggressive towards older. Grown men, and I think
and
that
though
stays
he dominated
with him.
A lot of fights. The other thing you got to remember, Nick, when you're in the fight game for that long, is how many shots to the head did he take too?
Yeah.
And does CTE or something like that play a role?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully pretty he does sad. Get the help. All right, so we got a way back Wednesday tomorrow. We look forward to you guys being a
small
part of the show.
Balls.
After the comment you just made, that's been isolated. You finish with that.
You are so proud. I can't wait because when you get mad, I'm going to remind you of today.
Dang, I only had six songs. And I forgot to send it. I shut down my computer.
Mad. Huh?
I'm not happy about that. I'm just happy it wasn't me. I'm just happy it wasn't me.
You are thrilled.
When Nick goes through the montages, I hate that.
Did you get it?
Get what?
The cracks drop.
Oh, I didn't, but I am definitely going to. That's probably the best one in like 3 years.
Shut up.
Let's be honest.
Shut up.
While you're at it, get small balls. He just finished with that. All right, for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. Fred, Aaron, and AJ are next. It's The Blitz, ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.